The book above, we ask for knowledge. The wise things that are concealed in the chants and in the words we will share with each other on this day. We gather here as we have on other occasions in the protective shelter of Kevalaite and God's healing love to remember the life of Frederick Wilhelm Bulloff. We gather here as we have on many other occasions, aware of others who have died and of how fragile our existence is here on earth. One of the ways that we remember Fred's life is through the stories we share of the ways in which we knew him. In a moment, Zweitze will come to share his thoughts about his father, Fred. He has come a long way, and we welcome him to Mali. After that, I know others of you are prepared to share as well. And when you feel prompted, please come.
Before starting my words to Fred, I would like to thank this congregation for organizing this ceremony. I would like to thank Jamie Lawrence for singing here and being at the bed with Fred, and all the people who joined him in his last days or far before. Thank you very much. And a special word of thanks for Kyle Yesterday afternoon we met him, my wife and I, we met him and we talked together. And when we went back together, I said to my wife, it's a small man, but still he is great. He spoke wonderful words for us, encouraging us. Thank you very much. My brother Fred Lulof was born on May 13th in 1938. 2.5 years later, I came into my family, and that was all. We had to do it together. By that time, Holland was occupied by the Germans because it was World War II. As a boy, we didn't realize much about the war. We went to school on our bikes and life got old. Fred and I grew up. He went to school. It was very easy for him. He was a good pupil. Studying went wonderful. He went to work for a textile company and soon made a great career. He married and had two sons. When his youngest son was born, he divorced their mother. Fred remarried with Renee, and I think it was a perfect couple. I met them sometimes, and I was also in Maui a couple of years ago. So I know Renee very good, and my mother liked her like her own daughter. Fred and Renee organized great parties together. They enjoyed all the guests. They often went on holiday, made beautiful cruises, and stayed in the most beautiful hotels all over the world. Their house was always open to friends and family. Fred was successful. He lived in Holland, in Belgium, in France, and later on in the USA, and he ended up on Maui. He worked in sporting goods, and as a Dutchman, he became vice president of a great American company. He flew all over the world and knew his way around. When I said to him, I'm going to Vienna, or to Paris, or to Athens, or to what town you can imagine, he said, when you are in Paris, you should eat at Pierre Bulot's. But I'm not going to Paris, I'm going to Athens. In Athens, George, you open the room, there you should eat. And one time I was in Paris and he phoned me and he said, did you eat at Pierre Bulot's? I said, no, Fred, I didn't. But you should. No, Fred, we have other plans. But I phoned him that you came. You must just then mention my name and you have a perfect dinner. I said, Fred, we have other plans. I'm sorry. And then the conversation ended. Unfortunately, he was not successful with his sons. His youngest son, Justus Krein, died after a sad life at the age of 29. He had a drug overdose. His eldest son, Jan Freek, he's 54, became a visual artist. Jan Freek has two children. He has a son who lives with his mother in Iceland. He met his mother at the art academy. She got pregnant, went to Ireland, and never came back. His son is a rather successful rapper and also an elderly caregiver. Jan Freek has also a daughter. She is nearly 5. He lives in Germany, and his daughter is sometimes with her mother and sometimes with him, because they don't live together. Fred would have liked his children to make a beautiful career like his own. He was saddened when he looked at his children, but he never talked with me about his grief. The last few years have been difficult. He took good care of Renee, visited her every day in Halimakula, and sometimes he said to me, when I say something against Renee, she can't answer me. She said, well, I can't understand it. It was a pity that he could not look into her eyes, because Renee could not talk with her mouth, but she talked with her eyes. And Fred could not understand that language. He became angry with many people. He told me that he was going to buy another car. He got into the showroom, and again, a gentleman, he said, with what can I help you? He said, do you think I'm coming to buy a bike? And when I had him on telephone, I said, congratulations. Once again, you made a quarrel with someone. Hardly he went outside anymore. He didn't eat well, but drinking was very good. And gradually, he got caught in the web that he spun himself. I tried to encourage him from the long distance. I said, go in touch with people, go talk with young people. But many conversations between us ended in arguments. I could not get to his emotions. Then he shut himself off. I miss a special brother. Our conversations were often difficult, but I think we both meant well. We understood each other in English, in French, in German, in Dutch. But unfortunately, we could not talk to each other in the most important language of the world, the language of love. Grief is like a fingerprint. There are millions of them, but none of them is the same. I wrote a little poem. Allow me to read it. Now the winds of Maui are searching for his ashes, to reunite them with the rest of his beloved wife. One day, at his time, when the sea is calm and the birds stop singing for just a little moment, this church will overview the graves. The clouds will open for a minute and close again, taking with them what shall rest in eternal peace. Then the wind comes back, blows over the beach, smoothing out all our unevennesses. And we will hold each other in thankfulness. May God bless us all.
Fred was a dandy. He always wore a very colorful shirt with matching pastel pants and sporting two-tone shoes. They were truly a well-turned-out couple. And as his brother mentioned, he was very prosperous and he did well in life. And he also mentioned that things were not always so easy for Fred in their day. They both suffered the ravages of being children in World War II. Renee was living in Bremen, a vital seaport in northern Germany. The entire city was bombed to the ground. The civilians were evacuated to the countryside where they survived on meager rations and food and other supplies. The conditions continued well after the war until the Marshall Plan provided some relief for the starving civilians. Renee's father was in the German army. He was killed during the D-Day invasion. Buried in the German cemetery in Normandy. Meanwhile, Fred and his little brother, living in Holland, where the occupying German army took most of the food and supplies for their use, causing mass starvation among the local population. I've heard that people survived by making soup from boiling grass and turnip bulbs. You can tell me if that's true or not. I do not know anything about Fred, but his brother filled us in. We met them when Andy and I met them when we joined the church here 15 years ago. Renee once mentioned that she worked as a model in Paris, and of course she was always quite beautiful. Fred mentioned once that he served in the Holland Air Force. He talked about being in an operation center monitoring aircraft during a NATO exercise. As his brother mentioned, Fred met Renee and they were married, they migrated. I thought they went through Canada, but I'm not sure. And then came to the United States. And they were really very proud to be American citizens, but they always remembered their origins back in Europe. Fred worked with a sporting goods company and obviously did quite well. And he formed many, many friendships, both on the mainland and in Europe. He traveled extensively. He spoke often of his friend in Greece, commenting on their escapades together. When they retired, they moved to Maui and joined Kavalai Church, where they became very active in church activities. The two formed numerous friendships throughout the community, like Diane and Ed Lane, their neighbors, and Claudia and her mother, Pauline. And they virtually adopted Jamie Lawrence and his family. He never stopped talking about them. And all they didn't own a boat, they did not own a boat. They were very active in the Lahaina Yacht Club and participated in their various social activities and sponsored races and things like that. A couple of weeks ago on Facebook, there was an announcement that it was Fred's birthday. In the comments section, I posted, in case someone had not gotten word, that Fred had passed away earlier this year. And that the service was delayed so that Fred's brother could attend. A couple of entries said thanks from the mailer. the next day, I received a message from Kostas Anastasiadades in Greece to thank me for the information about Fred and asked me to email his father, Ari, which I did. The father then replied that he and Renee, Fred Lulhoff were great friends and wondered why he hadn't heard from them recently. He said, "It is a pity that I cannot attend the service, but on that day, I will have a short memorial and pray in a church in Athens where many years ago we attended Sunday Mass with Fred and Renee." And they said, "God bless, Ari." And there were many such stories. In remembering Fred, there are three things which immediately come to mind. First, he was quick to tell a joke. He said, "Did you hear about the two Irishmen in the pub?" Or he would go on, "How about the piano player that had a pet monkey?" Then that would lead to the two of us swapping jokes, stupid jokes, until Annie and Renee would make us stop. Secondly, Fred would always have a story about the escapades during their travels in Europe. They traveled extensively. And as I said before, they knew so many people worldwide. Several years ago, Andy and I were traveling in Europe. We went to Italy and then Rome and the Vatican, and we went into St. Peter's Square, and there were just crowds of people there. And all of a sudden, there was a murmur in the crowd. Two figures appeared way up on the balcony, one all in white. And I said to the Italian next to me, I said, "Is that the Pope?" And he looked up and he says, "I don't know, could be." He said, "But the guy next to him in the colorful shirt, that's a Fred Lulhoff." No, that's one of Fred's jokes. And the first thing was telling jokes. The second thing was talking about all of his travels and all of his friends. But the third thing I remember most is Fred's love for Renee. He was proud of her and just adored her. She kept a great home and entertained graciously. Things were well with them. But several years ago, Renee developed a devastating illness, the Parkinson's disease. Fred then became the caregiver. Because Renee developed mobility problems, they moved into a one-story house. Fred brought in nursing help, first a few hours a day, and then as Renee got worse, day and night shifts. Renee wanted to remain in their home as her situation worsened, and Fred tried his best to make that happen. Then to make things worse, Fred had a near-fatal heart condition which required open heart surgery. He didn't let that beat him, because his love and caring for Renee, he fought back to regain his health. Later, he had another near-fatal episode with liver failure. Again, he refused the illness to stop him. He had to care for Renee. About that time, the doctors told Fred that Ray could not get the care she needed while at home, so she had to go to a care home. So she went to Olympico, where she received excellent service and care. Fred did more than rely on the care there. He brought in massage therapists, he brought in hairdressers to fix her hair, and people to do her fingernails and toenails. She always wanted to look her best for others who came to visit, and Fred helped her in that quest. When his illness progressed, Fred visited daily, talking with her, now only in German and with her eyes and nods, just as he said. After Renee's passing, Fred planned to wrap up his affairs, take a rest, and go on vacation to visit his friends in Europe, his brother in Holland, and to Greece and sit back and relax with his old pal Terry. But then one day he fell ill and he even drove himself to the hospital. visited, I urged him to get better, Fred. Listen to the doctors so that he could take that planned trip and relax a bit. He replied, "No, not now. He had other plans." Several days later, he died. And now they're together again, beautiful Renee in her glowing gown, stroking her favorite Siamese cat, and dashing Dandy, Fred, who's proudly holding her hand. They are together again. God bless her. Aloha. Fred's duty to pick me up at the airport and help me deal with my grief, which he did. And he and Renee were by my side, because I was by myself, and he couldn't fly yet. Brought me to Kabul, brought my mother here to say goodbye to her. He was with me every step of the way. And that's who Fred is. And even though he's walked a tough path in the last few years, underneath it all, that's who he is, and that's what he showed to her name. He was loyal to her. He stayed with her when it was really hard, because her name couldn't really communicate. So I just want to remember my friend Fred and my friend Renee. What beautiful, beautiful people they were. And I know they're dancing together.
15 years ago.
Glad to go.
And when we first got here, we were already members of the church. And I talked to Cotton, and I said I thought that the church needed an endowment fund, something that people could get into, and I'm sure that the financial needs of the church were met over a long term. And he said, okay, you need to talk to two people. One was Fred, and the other was a guy named Bob Hobson. And as life's coincidences would have it, Bob Hobson passed away about a month ago. But I distinctly remember my first conversation with those two, and I'm sorry if this is a bit of an inside thing, because my church members will know exactly what I'm saying. Mr. Hobson was very reserved. Well, maybe we could do that. Fred was the total opposite. Fred was so positive. Fred was the guy that we're going to get this done. This is a good thing. Let's move forward. So as we were working on the project and coming up with the rules and regulations of setting up this endowment, working with Bob was very meticulous in his work and his approach to everything in life. And he was a great treasure to this church. But Fred was the cheerleader. He was the guy that said, well, do we have to talk to these people? Oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about that. We'll get it. Just keep moving. And we did get it done. And actually, we now have two endowments. We have one for the church itself, and then we have one that, for our outreach program, where we give grants out into the community. So that was a very positive experience. Well, through that experience, we got to know Fred and Renee, and just as everybody else is recounting, you couldn't meet a more gracious couple in the world who were endearing to you and welcoming to you. And we had opportunity to attend several different social occasions with them, and always had a great time with them. We happened to be big supporters of families, and we had a table for the Humane Society's annual fundraiser, and there's a picture out front of some gentleman that we don't know who he is exactly. Some guy. And Fred. And that was a spectacular evening. I've got a picture in my study from that evening. We all had a great time. As things worked out in Fred's life, at one point he approached me and asked me if I would be his executive as a state. And I had been forewarned that that was coming from Cotton. And I don't know that he'll remember it this way, but I distinctly remember it was kind of over the top of his glasses look that said, and you will agree. And I did, obviously. So I would have to say that I learned more about Fred after his death than I knew before. One of the things that I get to do amongst all these various things is I had to take care of the cremation. So when I went to pick up his remains, I had to make a decision. I'm not good at this stuff. I had to decide which container to put for it. And there's a lot of choices. I mean, a lot of choices. But none of them seem to fit the bill for the person that everybody's described as the guy who likes to dress up, who likes that flash of color, who always likes to lend his presence in a cheerful way. And so this container, I thought, was the brassiest thing I could find.
Good choice.
Good job.
We're Tom here. And Tom did test that out, and it barely went in. So it cleared, but yeah, it'll go in at an angle. You'll notice that later. I received an email from Fred's son, Jan Frick, in which he wrote, "I deeply wish these words that I wrote can be read. I hope and wish that you are willing to do that." Fred, my father, people gathered. You breathe your last breath. My daughter Zoe, 4.5 years old, I just brought to bed, and I thought to share these words now. Here are your ashes. Here are the people gathering before your ashes that will be brought to her name, to her remains. People that loved you, people from your church, my uncle Sykesa and Jamie Lawrence. I'd like to thank my uncle for being there during the ceremony. He tried to give you a lot, but it was sometimes hard for you to take. I'd like to thank Jamie Lawrence for maybe and probably being the son you've never had or wished for. In short, the words we shared over the telephone while you were in the hospital. I recognized him, Jamie, as a truly sensitive person with a very nice voice. I am very happy for you that your paths crossed. I also like to thank the other persons that came by and even sang at your hospital bed. Fred, you are not alone in your last days. And then he continues writing, "Papa, we had our struggles. In our mind, we were quite alike in some way, I guess, but we chose different life forms. You were unable to support me. Your second son, my brother Hustis, died in 1997 because of his third heroin overdose. I couldn't stop him. You were unavailable. It is a burden that I am carrying until now. Still, I thank you for all the vacations me and my brother had in our youth. I'd like to thank you for going swimming every Sunday when we were there in Brussels, Belgium. I can still taste the sandwiches with the filet americaine. I'm not sure what that is, after swimming. You had a good influence on my taste for food. For now, I'd like to thank you for the heritage. I'll treat your art with respect and will make meals from the olive oil that were taken from your kitchen. I will not miss you, but you will be on my mind. I am able to carry the burden now. I wish I could have known you better, but eagles always fly alone. Fly high, then, wherever you are. Jan Frick, your son." Whatever burdens Fred may have carried in his life, Jan Frick's words are meant to set Fred, the members of his Ohana, his family, and all of us free from the burdens of this world. From the Lebanese-American poet, writer, artist, Khalil Gibran comes his words on death, and I ask Jamie if you would share the reading with us at this time. Find the River is a song that Jan Frick wanted to have shared at our gathering today, following the words I just shared with you a few moments ago. He said, "Although for numerous reasons I can't be there, it is important for me to say goodbye and not let the moment pass. The song I choose is for my father, my brother, and also for me. Though it's poetical, it could not be more fitting according to my feelings. And the lyrics are printed on the insert in your program, and it's a recording that we'll share with you now. Custom for us to always offer blessing as we get towards the close of our time together. So let's make something that heavy come. This is very heavy, by the way. So we're going to offer a blessing. And when we met the other day, we don't choose our families. We're born into it. And whatever happens in our lifetime, they're going.
always, shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God's countenance be with you, and give you peace this day and forever. Thank you.
the shadow of a doubt. As the mighty river flows, as the meadow gave place, with the wind of summer day, about as deep can go. Silence of
Loyal Guardian.
Duh!
Yeah. always
all stuffed
nice.
Up though.
Yes. Oh.
Mm.
I wish I sounded like that when I was stepped up.
That's what I told him the first time I heard him sing. He told me, oh,
oh my goodness.
I got back from the mainland a week ago, and as soon as I got back, you know, I must be the plane.
Yeah. The enclosed German capsule.
It's been 1 week already.
Okay, here I go again. I always forget this. I gotta turn them off.
Did you turn off the light?